following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network and ChicagoBears.com. Download the Chicago Bears official mobile app for up-to-the-minute Bears content every day. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football. Bears All Access is brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, Miller Lite, and Comcast.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside 85 Bear Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabeman. Pleased to be joined by one of the stars from last week's game in Baltimore, safety Adrian Amos. That's the correct way to say it, right? A lot of people didn't know. They kept calling you Amos for your first few years with the Bears. But once you broke through and got it in the end zone, they're not mistaking it anymore.
That's a correct way to say it, Amos. You know, my family, they care a lot more about that than me. You know, they get mad when they hear somebody say Amos. But it's Amos.
You know, and the buses were pulling away this past weekend. I saw a group of people standing out there with your jerseys on.
Yeah.
And it was pretty neat because not only did you go to your hometown, you had a great game, but you think of the joy that you brought all those people that are wearing your jerseys to the game and, to see the excitement in their faces, the buses pulled away. You know, for those of us that aren't Adrian Amos, it had to be neat for you to go in there and accomplish that and be around the people that were there supporting you.
Yeah. It was a great feeling, coming out. And when I came out to see them after the game, they just there cheering and stuff like that, you know, real hyper about it. So I guess because it, growing up, they used to hear me, you know, talk about I want to play in that stadium and stuff like that all the time. And then get to come home and then a chance for everybody to come. You know, I got elderly, like my great-grandmother, she can't come, you know, fly to Chicago and stuff like that. So for her to be able to stay home and, you know, get to watch the game, you know, from the box and stuff like that. So it was a good experience for them.
Did you bring the football to the locker room with you after the interception, or what did you do with that?
Oh, teammate got it. I think they're going to paint it up or something like that.
Very good.
Yeah.
That's usually the mark of a special game when they take the time to put the paint on the ball and you have that as a memento for the rest of your life. And this wasn't the first time that you played a game in that stadium in Baltimore. From my understanding, this is where you finished off every high school year, right?
Right, yeah. My last game of every year we played in the Turkey Bowl against Loyola. We played that every year. So my last high school game ever was in that stadium.
That's neat. The big games you played in, even the big game in Baltimore, I just for a second, the Michigan-Penn State game this weekend, the crowd in that stadium is bigger than any crowd you'll play in any NFL stadium you can play in. Are you still interested in that? Do you follow the hype of it? Or are there any guys in the locker room that you're kind of is there any Michigan guys here? You know, do you enjoy that game still, the Penn State Michigan game?
Yeah, I mean, I follow Penn State, throughout the season and go back and forth with guys in the locker room. I'm gonna watch that game. I, you know, still relive memories of my, our whiteout game against Michigan. We went to 3 overtimes and we won that game. And still to this day, there's no NFL stadium that compared to a whiteout at Penn State.
Right. I played in that game, Notre Dame, Penn State at Penn State, and it's kind of when you approach the Penn State Stadium, it stands above all else out there in that the area of the world it's built in. So, you think about the hype that had a lot, for you being a Penn Stater.
Yeah.
That's Tom Thayer. Adrian Amos is with us as well here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. I think the thing that's cool about both of you, you guys got to live a little bit of a dream. The fact that, you got to play for the Bears, essentially your hometown team. The fact that your best game as a professional football player, Adrian, happened in a place, and you were talking a little bit about this after the game. There's this overpass right next to M&T Bank Stadium there in Baltimore, and there's a little playground right where people tailgate the parking lot. And that's where your dad used to play 7-on-7 games. And you would tell people, hey, one day I'm going to be in that stadium.
Right. I mean, that's a great feeling. Just growing up around Baltimore, and Baltimore don't have a lot of, didn't have a lot of guys, making it, professionally. you know, especially in football. So it was just a great feeling just working for it, you know, working to play in that stadium one day and then, you know, getting the opportunity.
And then you think about this, and I know a lot of people don't know this, but, you know, you usually think about football hotbeds, Texas, you think of Florida, California, Pennsylvania.
Illinois.
But, no, listen to this. This is pretty incredible, because I was talking with Adrian about this before the game in the locker room last week at Hallis Hall, and you started ticking off the names of players that you would recognize today in the National Football League, all from Baltimore. He said they'd have a 7-on-7 all-star team if you start ticking them off. Give me some of the names.
Oh, some of the names? I mean, I can just lift off my 7-on-17 my junior senior year. So we had Cyrus Jones for the Patriots. We got Trevor Williams, corner for the Chargers. You got Kyle. You got who else?
Stephon Diggs.
Ronald Darby from Maryland.
Yeah.
But who else? Tavon's from Baltimore. Tavon Austin from Baltimore. A couple more. I can't really think of everybody right now.
So to think of, you know, you were saying as a kid, at that point, there weren't a lot of people from the area that were, you know, big-time football players. It's changed.
Yeah, it's changed. It's changed a lot. And, you know, from all of Maryland, but just central, like from my areas in Baltimore, you know, specifically. So, you know, Darby and them, they're from, like, PG County, Maryland, stuff like that. But, like,
it's
actual... I mean, it's not really ritzy out there, but I'm just saying, just from actual around the actual, you know, Baltimore area, you know, with Tavon and Kyle and, you know, Cyrus, all us was like, you know, we was, the forefront of it. Now you got, they're all over college football now. We have a lot of players everywhere.
When did you know? It sounds like to me you knew in your life that you were going to play professional football. You know, my junior year in high school, I sat with a couple of classmates and I signed a piece of paper and I go, "This is how I'm going to sign my autograph when I play pro football." But I hear a lot of the same in you. At what age or at what time in your life did you say, "Okay, I'm on this NFL train. I'm going to work out. I'm going to get prepared. I'm going to stay positive," and all the type of challenges that you have along the way?
I mean, I first started saying it when I was, you know, 8. We had 6'8", and we used to win the championship stuff. And I used to – we won the championship that year, and I was a quarterback. I thought I was going to be a quarterback.
Right.
But, yeah, I used to do the Ray Lewis chant in the middle of the huddle and stuff like that. So that's when the dream came. I mean, I didn't expect it to be as hard as, you know, different things. You know, as I came into high school, when I moved over to corner and stuff, I came into high school like 5'4", 130 pounds.
Your high school coach was talking about that you were 5'4". So he was basically the size of Tariq Cohen. Right. I'm not making fun of him, but to go from that size and to be a big time high school, that's not easy to do.
Yeah, I mean, I was kind of upset about it because I wasn't the starting quarterback at the beginning. I still wanted to play quarterback, but he said, "All right, my sophomore year, he said, if you want to play varsity, you got to move the corner." So that's what I did. I moved the corner, and then I made my way back to at least Wildcat quarterback by the time, you know, I became a senior.
Well, now that you know about the cornerback position, it's recognition of the best athlete on the football team because it's the most difficult of skills to have. So it's hard complimenting a young kid that wants to be a – explosive offensive player to convince him to go defense.
I wanted to play corner too, but you know, I wanted to throw the ball. That was my thing.
Well, we saw the running ability after you got the pick. I mean, did you play running back at any point during?
No, not really. You know, they didn't let me play running back either, but I played Wildcat quarterback and ran, but I played receiver. You know, I played receiver for, like, in big games, I would go to receiver.
When you got the pick, did you know it was open?
Man, I was just, all right, I finally got the ball. Hey, let's score. Let's score. I got to score.
Well, you saved it for a great time because it wasn't just the fact that you got the pick, and I know that's been on your mind the first 2+ seasons that you've been in the NFL, but then to take that and turn it into points at home,
yeah,
that's got to be the dream.
Yeah, I mean,
win.
Yeah, it's a dream come true. And the win, definitely, it's hard to celebrate if you lose. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, the win made it, you know, made it big. And, you know, Kyle tipped it up and, you know, I thank him for that.
It was both of the interceptions. They were unbelievable reactions by you and by Bryce Callahan. I mean, it's not just something throwing you a football and, you know, showing the ability to catch it. To react and then follow the flight of the ball. Like all those tip drills I think about defensive backs going through throughout their high school, Pop Warner, their career, it comes down to that 1 second. You know, it's a tip drill that got an interception.
Yeah, that, you know, that reaction time. And that comes a lot with running to the ball, too, just to be in the – be in the right spot. So sometimes you get rewarded to for running to the ball, and you know, I'm just glad I was in that place at that time. And
so are we. And,
When we come back, who gets the game ball after a performance like that? We'll discuss next. Adrian Amos is our guest. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Sabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Download the official Bears mobile app, brought to you by Verizon, and get your game face on with a new virtual face paint feature. Don't look at me that way, Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Sabin. It's Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy. Something like that, I think, would be perfect for our good buddy Jeff Joniak.
Face painting?
Oh, yeah, virtual face painting, whatever.
Well, that's something that you need technology people.
Yeah, you know, he's big on the technology every Sunday before the game. Our guest here on Bears All Access is Adrian Amos, one of the best defensive performances that we've seen from the Bears since you joined the team. But overall, man, I think there's been an elevation in the play of the defense this year. And it's, I think part of it is the depth that you guys have added to the team. But the other part, I think, is you have a lot more healthier guys, and I think people understand their roles a lot better than early on when you first got here.
I mean, yeah, I feel like depth is a you know, a big factor. We're a lot more healthy than last year. But I feel like we've always played solid defense here. We're trying to make a emphasis on turnovers. So this is the first game we got those turnovers. We got the takeaway goal with getting three turnovers. But yeah, I think a lot of people are more comfortable working with each other. Kyle being back is a big plus. He healthy. He missed the entire year last year. And then linebackers, Free went down, but getting Danny back, that's a big plus. And that front seven, and our D linemen and outside linebackers, they're a force down there.
You guys are working in concert. I think that's the thing that's really standing out. And who gets the game ball? Because you just mentioned all the different position groups, and all of them played a role in picking up that victory against the Ravens. Who got the game ball?
I mean, I got the game ball because of the good lookingness of the stat line but I'm never a big guy on stats. I watch the film and watch the tape, who was consistently the best throughout the game, and I'll say that was Kyle. Kyle was in a lot of times, even in certain coverages it might not be called man, but he's basically in man. So he locked that side of the field down. I feel one entire series was just him.
Right.
He made every play on that series. So, I feel like, if I had to give a game ball just after, just watching film, take away, the stat line at the end, I think he had the best game.
You know, what about you, though? Because this is probably the best game across the board, defensively speaking, including Bryce Callahan. I think the defensive backs have played here in quite a while. But the individual challenge to you, because, you had a lot of early career success, and then they bring in Quinton Demps, and then all of a sudden, man, the time is given to you again, and you're playing the best football ever. Are you a smarter player than when the season concluded last year, or is there something that went on during training camp that kind of clicked for you and all the responsibilities of your position? Because I think at your position, from lining up at the linebacker depth to 20 yards off the line of scrimmage, man, there's a lot of roles you have to play. So what happened for you?
I think experience, I think mindset. I think, a lot of things, come with that. I worked hard this offseason and, you know, just getting healthy, conditioning, looking at myself, self-evaluation of what I need to do. And I feel like I had a great camp of running to the ball, of being active. Obviously, I had to work on just getting to the ball in order to, you know, make more plays on the ball. As, you know, that's been my knock, is making a lot of big plays now, of, you know, playing the ball in the air and different things like that. So I just focused myself on being active. And even when, you know, the early in the season when I wasn't playing a lot on defense, I just took it in, and I worked on my craft every day. And, you know, when I was on special teams, I did special teams the best of my ability. I worked on that. And, I just had that mindset that when I get an opportunity again, you know, I'm gonna be relaxed, and I'm gonna play football the way I work for.
But the group of people that you work out with in the off season, are they defensive back kind of minded people, or are they just athletes that kind of push you and motivate you and that type of training?
Well, this off season, this is my first actual off season this year, because I got the surgery last year and things like that. So, this off season, yeah, I was with one of my DB coaches from college, whatever, when I used to, from high school, but he trained me for combine and stuff like that. He was my cornerback coach and stuff like that. So I worked on different drills like that. And then other than that, just doing a lot of rehab and stuff, from shoulders and stuff, and, just trying to just be better all around. And did a lot of footwork, a lot of, speed work, and to try to get in the best shape as possible for this year.
Do you guys, and I'm sure this is something that you've been working on from day one, but have the drills changed with the coaching staff in terms of emphasizing turnovers? Because when something isn't working and you want to create that momentum, did they change things last week, for example, leading into that game, and just the different takeaway drills that you guys were using?
We did do a lot more takeaway drills. We just... not a lot more, but we they emphasized it in meetings, also watching a lot more tapes on how to get takeaways and different things like that. So,
because to flip it around,
hopefully, yeah,
to flip it around from the Minnesota game,
right,
where I know that was probably in your head all night long, because there was an opportunity for the takeaway, and then to go from that to what you were able to do last week, that's something.
Yeah, it wasn't really in my head no more. After a game go, it's just
boom, gone.
It's just gone. And that for that play, and I think it's magnified because I didn't have takeaways for that. So that one play gets magnified, like, oh, that was his opportunity to get a takeaway. Like it was just a play that, it's a play that I should make. I look at myself, should make, but, for everybody, I think they, go and jump on that, like it was a routine fly ball or something like that. But I've been learning over my career to, have a short memory, a short memory, forget it, move on to the next play, do what I know how to do, fly around, be physical. And that's what I've been trying to do. I just try to hit everything moving and get to the ball. And, when that ball in the air, I just got to go get it. Just, do something that, growing up was natural to me, and has become something, I guess, in my head, that I just got to, focus in on and just go play football.
The tackling was outstanding by all you guys. You say you have a short memory. Does your memory change from going to Joe Flacco to Cam Newton? Because there's a lot of difference between those two guys.
I mean, every week is, it's a different beast you're playing against. Between Flacco, then you go to Cam Newton, where you got a lot more run pass option, and he can extend plays longer, to make certain throws. And then, if he do scramble, is, like tackling a fullback, right, or maybe bigger. Bigger than most fullbacks. So, each week it's just a new player.
New challenge.
A new challenge, yep.
Adrian Amos is our guest. We've got to take a break. When we come back, and you mentioned this a little bit earlier about how you thought Kyle Fuller deserved the game ball for his performance last week. I think that the two Baltimore kids on the Bears roster, you guys have been through a lot and have had to overcome a lot, I think, mentally in order to be in the positions that you guys are at. And who helps you get through that when you go through those ups and downs over the course of your career? We'll discuss next with Bears safety Adrian Amos. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Text the keyword BEARS to 737737 or visit chicagobears.com/Dr. Pepper to enter the Dr. Pepper sweepstakes, your chance to win VIP experiences and game tickets. Dr. Pepper, the official soft drink of the Chicago Bears. Hi, everyone. It's Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. 85 Bear Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zaidman, joined by Bears safety Adrian Amos and the two Baltimore kids on defense, among the many contributors last week, helping the Bears beat the Ravens on the road. You and Kyle Fuller, and it's been rough, a rough going. Last year, Kyle Fuller didn't get an opportunity to play, and then in the offseason, everyone knows the Bears went out. They signed Marcus Cooper Sr. They end up signing Prince Amukamara, and no one was quite sure what Kyle Fuller's future would be with this team. Just even this year, you have to deal with Quentin Demps coming in. They draft another guy at your position in Eddie Jackson. When that happens, who helps you overcome that? Obviously, the only thing you can do is control your work ethic, but to stay positive through those times, how do you do it?
I mean, a lot of prayer, you know, and just focusing on what you need to do. You know what I'm saying? If you get caught up in, oh, this person here, this person saying this, this person saying that, you're going to get worse. I feel like it does nothing but make it worse. And just come in, just have positive energy every day. Start working, work even harder, you know what I'm saying? And it gives you time to just, you know, dial in just workers and work on and focus on what you need to do. You know, if you got going scout team, you work on certain things within the cards. You got to play the other defense, but, you know, you focus in and do what you need to do. It's just a time to work hard. It's not a time to, you know, I guess, sulk, you know,
but,
in a way.
You know, you kind of have to grow up quick because now you're the most experienced safety on the field. Do you and Eddie Jackson, do you talk a lot in between plays or during the cadence or anything? Or is he thinking about his responsibility and you're thinking about yours? Or is it a helpful conversation between the two?
I mean, I think even early on, you know, before I was playing again, I feel like I tried to take it upon myself to help out a lot with, you know, Eddie, even, you know, Q coming over and learning a new defense. So, you know, I try to, you know, help everybody with learning the play calls and things like that. Q actually helped me with learning about football in general, you know, the grand scheme of things. You know, I really haven't had a veteran, you know, safety here since Trell was here, right, before he got injured and stuff like that. So, Q, you know, helped me learn about actual football part of the game where I can help him learning the scheme with Vic and stuff like that.
When you say that, do you mean just kind of understanding how a specific offense is going to try to attack the defense?
You can say that just football 101 basically as far as the NFL are. I moved from corner to safety when, you know, basically when I came to the NFL. So just learning certain things you look for, you know, as a safety, being, you know, because in the NFL, everybody's a professional now. So a lot of times you're not, you know, drilled as much on fundamentals of the, you know, the position, you know, stuff that, you know, little tips, little things he picked up on. You know, he'd been playing for a long time, so picked up on a lot of tips that, you know, that's not within the actual defense. It's just tips about actual playing the safety position.
You know, if you're addressing a young kid coming out of college and you're going to say, this is the most difficult aspect about defending the passing game at the NFL level, Is it the ability for the receivers to catch the ball? Is it design of the pass routes? Or is it their speed, you know, because you guys are kind of matched with speed. Defensive backs run well, so do receivers. So what would you tell a young safety getting ready to come in the NFL? Look, be prepared for this because this will be the most challenging aspect of our game for you to succeed.
In the grand scheme of things with just the concepts of the offense, just run pass reads, just a lot of with eyes. And safety is a lot with eyes, reading run pass and then to get that jump on them, being able to read routes, be able to read route concepts. All right, we getting this, you know, this was coming next. As far as man-to-man is man-to-man. I mean, at safety, you're not as in man as much as you probably would be in college. You know, I played a lot more nickel and things like that. And also, quarterbacks are a lot better in the NFL. So open in college is different from open in the NFL. You know, you on them and they're still open basically because one step is open in the NFL. But, you know, you probably need two steps in college to be considered open, things like that.
Right.
Do you know his first start? Adrian's first start, I think, came against the Packers, right? Your rookie year. So keep this in mind. And you just heard him say that you were primarily a cornerback at Penn State. So you're moving to safety full-time with the Bears. You impress enough over the course of the offseason, training camp, in the preseason games to earn the opportunity to play, and which is not easy to do when Vic Fangio is your defensive coordinator. I mean, you really have to earn the trust. And then you're on the field and arguably the best manipulator out there in Aaron Rodgers is going up against you. And I remember we were talking about this earlier this year. You said something along the lines of, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he's very confident out there and very cocky, too. He's not afraid to let you know I've got you, right? That grin you were telling me when he knows he's got you.
Right.
What's that like being on the other end? Because now you have a lot more experience.
Right.
But back then, that could not have been fun.
I feel like back then, when you were a rookie, you coming in, I don't know, I just had the mindset, you don't got to lose. You know what I'm saying? So you're just out there just playing, you know, just really playing. It's like, I mean, I guess the first series, you're like, oh, you know, I'm in the NFL.
Right.
You know what
I'm
saying? You know, Aaron Rodgers, stuff like that. They, you know, but after that, it's just like, all right, we all in the NFL. You know what I'm saying? You know, let's play ball. I think when you get to thinking too much, I think that messes up your game. And that's what I've been focusing on this year. I think less. I know what I know now. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, I learned how to study better and pick up on tendencies and things like that better. So now it's just, all right, just go play ball. You mess up, but you're going to play ball.
Well, I noticed in John Fox's press conference today, they have a way of knowing how much that you look at your tablet. And they were referring to Kyle Fuller's probably top in the defense, and it shows in his style of play. And I asked this over the years, the technology that you were introduced to at the NFL level, is that something that you took part in college and you just take more of a part of it because it's easy now at the NFL level? Or how do you feel about that, the technological part of it?
You know, each year I feel like I've learned more how important it is to, you know, watch film, to look at, you know, it was a time where just – you know, whatever. Like in college.
Right.
You know, in college, it's just like.
You're right, better than everybody, so you're always going to be better.
In a college, the majority of my career, I played boundary corner. So, just don't let them catch the ball. Basically, you know what I'm saying? I'm in man here or I'm in squat corner and stuff like that. You know, and then when I moved to nickel and different things like that, I mean, I watch when we watch. But other than that, I just, you know, it wasn't no real huge breakdown of tendencies and different things like that. It was just, you know, go play football, basically. And now, you know, everybody's good. Everybody's athletic. And to make a lot of, you know, more big plays, more, you know, just to help you out, just give you that little edge to know what to expect. You can start play a little bit more free. You can start helping other people out. All right, this is what's coming up next.
Man, you wonder how your career would have been different if Antrell Roll hadn't gotten hurt and you had the opportunity to study with him, you know, as opposed to him rehabbing or any other veteran for that matter.
I mean, it would have helped. But it's anytime you have a vet.
Yeah, I'm just talking about the knowledge. Yeah, yeah, I mean, yeah, obviously, from a physical standpoint, you were able to impress immediately,
right.
And you got yourself on the field. But I think that, you know, for example, like what you were talking about, helping out Eddie Jackson and giving him any, because every little tip counts.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It helps. You know, when you know what to do. Think of somebody off the top of my head when I think of like film study and who just get there. I think of like Timu. Timu, if Timu on the side, you hope that he's standing. I wish he had a radio in my helmet before the play, because Timu will tell you what play you getting, where it's coming. You know what I'm saying? Which way they running? With you know where the ball going? Every play, he just knows what's going to happen.
It's amazing that you mentioned that, because I've heard a lot of your teammates say that even when he wasn't playing, before he was on the active roster, he was always there, and the coaches will go to him because he'll see stuff on the field, and then he'll go to players, will go to coaches, hey, you need to do this, this, and this. This is what they're doing. Right. That's quite a knack for the game.
Yeah, you know, it make you there. It make you get there that much faster. You know what I'm saying? A knock to him, you know, early on was, you know, his speed and different things like that. But when you know what's coming, you can run a 6 flat 40, and you can get there.
I'd be interested to see in the 40 time of Luke Kuechly and John Timu, because Luke Kuechly is a lot like that. The Bear, if I don't even know if he's going to play this week, but
we don't know yet.
One of the quickest reacting inside linebacker, sideline to sideline there is. But John Timu has that type of initial reaction to what the play is going to run.
Right.
That's one thing that I've always loved about him is his instincts to play that position.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. He definitely got that. You know, got that knack for it.
Yeah. And I heard that Mitch Unrein's another one of those guys that gets it before everyone else gets it. I was talking with Eddie Goldman last week, and he goes, "Yeah, Keem's the best player on the defensive line, and I do what I do." But you know, Mitch Unrein, if he was 50 pounds lighter, he'd probably be the kind of linebacker that Timu is, because he sees things before they develop.
Right. Right. I mean, yeah, that helps out a lot. So, you know, just. You know, and I looked at myself, I'm like, dang, if I'm on it like that, you know what I'm saying, how much, you know, faster would I get to the ball, how many more plays would I make just by knowing the play before they do.
Man, and now you got Cam Newton. You got what stands out about the way the Panthers go about running their offense? Because it's different than the last few years, what they've done, because they've got a lot of weapons around Newton this year.
Say again, you say what's different
about what's different about all the different things that they can do offensively?
They can do a lot. You know, they got them those rookies that they got that can run
Christian
well.
McCaffrey.
And then you got Samuel that played at Ohio State. You know, they got their jet sweeps. They got their – and then when you got a quarterback that can run, you know what I'm saying, that he can run powers and different things like that. You know, a lot of that jet sweep, misdirection things. And then you got two big receivers outside. Mm-hmm. That have a big catch radius. They pose, you know, a lot of different challenges. Just got to be, you know, a game. You got to be in tune with your eyes, with all the, you know, misdirection things and stuff like that. So, they present a, you know, great challenge.
You know, throughout training camp, you practice against an offense with Mitchell Trubisky that has Tariq Cohen that has that type of elusiveness.
Right.
Does it kind of help you get ready for that Cam Newton, Christian McCaffrey type feel to the offense that you do have with, you know, what you went through at training camp and the Bears every day?
Yeah, I mean, that helps a lot, you know, when you practice against jet sweeps and different things like that, or read option. You know, it helps probably the outside linebackers, probably helps them a lot to get, you know, looks at the at a faster quarterback or something like that. But I don't know if you can really simulate a Cam Newton though, because of how it's only one of him that's that big and run the ball like that. So
you'd have to have Adam Shaheen playing quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, think about it. You guys have faced some big quarterbacks that can move, guys like Roethlisberger and Jameis Winston in week two. But I feel like Cam wants to dish out. He's not afraid to go right at you.
Right. Yeah. He rarely dies. I mean, he rarely slides. You know, he might. you know, try to lower that shoulder, especially when you get close to the red zone. Mm-hmm. You know, he becomes a big threat then.
Yeah, that play on was it on Thursday Night Football against the Eagles? I mean, that where he was running to the end zone and kind of dove. I know it didn't count as a touchdown, but sure looked like
covered
it.
Covered a lot of ground in the air.
Right. And then there was that play against the Lions where, you know, they ran that little trick play with McCaffrey where he kind of froze everybody and kind of shoveled it off. When we come back, how do you, since you can't prepare for it, you can't simulate what this guy does, what's the best method of, from your standpoint and where you play, handling the zone read and what any team that does the zone read likes to do? Adrian Amos is our guest. We've got Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Former Bears Spice Adams, Alex Brown, and Lance Briggs team up twice a month for the most hilarious Bears podcast out there, and they bring some football knowledge too. Check out Two Guys and a Pro Bowler on iTunes, the official Bears app, ChicagoBears.com, or on YouTube. It's a good show.
Yeah.
You know, I ran into to them after their latest taping, Alex Brown and Lance Briggs. This is, I think, the 11-year anniversary this week of that huge game that they had in Arizona. Remember that Monday Night Football game? Bears were down 20-0 at halftime. And all of a sudden found a way to rally back and win 24-23 without scoring a single offensive touchdown. One of the greatest games I've ever seen in person. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zadrin. Adrian Amos is...
That was the one where Denny Green slapped the side of the podium and said, they are who we thought they were.
Yeah, I remember that game. Yeah.
Everyone does. I mean, because that was the meltdown of all meltdowns. And I think what ticked him off at the end is they had a chance. The Cardinals had a chance to win the game on a field goal, but missed. And the Bears found a way. Brian Urlacher had probably his best game as a pro. Yeah, I think he had 25 tackles after the coach's review. Think about that. I mean, unbelievable.
There might have been a couple gift tackles. He got 25.
But, I mean, listen, if
I'd
you got
fire
20...
my whole offensive line.
Edger and James, I think, carry the ball, nearly as much as Jordan Howard did in that other game. And I think he averaged less than 3 yards a carry or something. I mean, think about it. This guy had a phenomenal game. Devin Hester was Devin Hester. Man, I get chills thinking about it. Anyway, so we've got Adrian with us. And I think that one of the things that stands out to me is just the way the NFL has changed and the zone read is because it freezes a defense. So when you're playing safety, what's the best advice that you can give us in terms of understanding how to properly play that with giving yourself an opportunity to make the play?
It depends on what coverage we in, obviously, but it's all about everybody being disciplined and, you know, in their eyes and who they have in the zone read. You know, I might be a roll down safety and, you know, I might have the running back, I might have the quarterback, you know what I'm saying? Everybody has to be, you know, tuned in on what their responsibility is in that situation. Because, you know, you get caught, you know, looking at the wrong guy, that's when it spit out.
You know, can your assignment change? Say that you're at a different down and distance, a different position on the field, you know, in the red zone instead of being at midfield. Or every time they call the defense, is your assignment the same according to the defense called? Or are there subtle adjustments that you have to make between the time you hear it and before the ball is snapped, depending upon where they are on the field?
Yeah, you got it. A lot of our calls is by formation and different things like that too. So you know, the call might be something in the huddle, but once they line up, it could be a different call, you know, based on that. And then, it's different in the red zone also. If we're in the red zone, it changes up your technique, your assignments, you know, as far as that.
How do you communicate when a team goes no huddle against you? Are the signal still called into the huddle and then you get them out there? Or do you have to kind of stay near your position because they're coming at you so rapidly?
You know, first, you know, everybody has to know their assignments, you know, so that, you know, the initial call, everybody communicates to each other, yelling at each other. If we have a hand signal, we try to stay away from hand signals.
Right.
So, you know, people steal hand signals and things like that. So we just have to communicate with each other and verbal, nonverbal communication, you know, to get the call. But it helps that if everybody knows their assignment, not just waiting for somebody to be like, oh, this is the check in this formation. Right. So it helps with that when everybody just knows.
See, and that's where I think that's one of the areas of improvement this year that we were talking about earlier, is that you can trust that the guy to your left and right, that they in front of you, they're seeing it the way you're seeing it.
Right.
You know, and that takes a while because it's not, you know, we were talking, I think we started one of our first Bears All Accesses this year we did with Jarrell Freeman. Here's a veteran player who came in, and he was talking about how it's not easy to learn Vic Fangio's deep. It takes a while, even if you're a rookie or a veteran. Right. So imagine when you have all these new faces, and there have been a lot of new people incorporated into the mix over the last few years. It takes a while for everyone to think the same way.
Yeah, I mean that do take a while to just mesh together, just so you know everybody's on the same street. It's, you know, with safeties, linebackers, and you know, even over the last 2 years, even though you know certain people have been here 2-3 years, people been off and on injured. Right. We haven't been playing playing together. It's always been a new system. I think we got better at playing through injury. Also, we got better at learning that, all right, next man up. You know, they have to be prepared as well and learning how to play with each other. Just like when Timu came in, I've played with Timu for 3 years now, you know what I'm saying? So it's no difference. I played with, you know, John Anderson, you know, before Cheese. I played with him. So, you know, all of us then, you know, really play with each other. So our depth are players who have played ball for us.
Can the front of the defense change the back of the defense? Because, you know, this past week they got Danny Trevathan at the middle linebacker, and they got four defensive linemen in three-point stance, even though you're basically a 34 defense. Right. So they have those subtle changes where they different kind of use a different personnel grouping up front. Does it change you, or is your assignment according to the other three defensive or four defensive backs you're playing with?
Yeah, some is the same. You just you have to be cognizant of run gaps and fits and different things like that. Who you're working with, where your help is. You know, if you have two linebackers rather than one linebacker, you know, so when you're down, you know, you might be the other linebacker if you in that, you know, certain call or certain and things like that. So I guess that's where it comes in,
right,
knowing who you're working with, basically.
And that's why we were talking with Ron Rivera, the Panthers head coach, earlier this week, Tom, and he said, you mentioned it, that you think Vic Fangio, you think 3-4, he called it a hybrid 3-4 defense, I think in large part because of what he saw on tape from last week against Baltimore.
Yeah, you know, I was impressed by what Vic Fangio was able to do, because you kind of take the emergence of some athletes and that some guys, how they mature and stuff, and you get an opportunity to put them on the field, whether it's Jonathan Bullard, Roy Robertson Harris, you know, those types of guys. Even Isaiah Irving, I hope he gets an opportunity to play, because I think he's got some explosiveness that could contribute to the defense.
All right, we got to take a timeout. When we come back, so Adrian went to Calvert Hall High School in Baltimore. I'm not sure he's the most famous grad there. He's one of them, but there might be someone more famous.
Did you wear a uniform?
Say again?
Did you wear a uniform?
We just had to wear a certain tie. It wasn't nothing
good.
Specific.
Yeah,
you know?
Well, I guarantee
good
you,
discipline.
Wait till you hear who else went to Calvert Hall. That's next. We've got Adrian Amos with us. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Sunday's game against the Carolina Panthers is brought to you by Advocate Healthcare, the official healthcare provider of the Chicago Bears. Our final few moments here on Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy, with Bears safety Adrian Amos. I'm Zach Zaidman, 85 Bear. Tom Thayer is along. Adrian, a native of Baltimore, went to Calvert Hall High School, which is also happens to be the alma mater of the most famous NFL draft evaluator on planet Earth.
I don't want to give someone credit that doesn't deserve it.
Mel Kiper Jr. Really? Went to Adrian's high school. Different times, obviously. Adrian's a lot younger than Mel. But did you notice do you think he gave you a more favorable rating at the time because you guys went to the same high school?
No.
And if not, you should give him a call, because that's unacceptable.
No, he didn't give. I don't think he gave me a favorable grade coming out, but I actually met him when I was in high school, when I was leaving high school, and I met him at Calvert Hall. So yeah, I knew he was going, but no, he didn't show any favoritism.
Well, if he didn't show you favoritism and you ended up at Penn State, you must have been pretty darn good. So where else did you have an option or were you even considering going besides Penn State?
Out of high school, I didn't have any offers until like July before my senior year.
But that used to be commonplace. You know, now it's a little different. Yeah.
I got offers. Then I committed. I only had UConn and West Virginia. I committed to UConn. Went through my year. Actually, UConn told me they was gonna pull an offer if I didn't. That's why I feel like I had to commit. Then Edsall left UConn. So I opened up, and that's when I got a lot of offers after my senior year.
Did you have such a good senior year that all of a sudden not then you exploded onto the map?
I was Baltimore Metro Defensive Player of the Year.
Don't mess around.
Right? Hey,
everyone talks about Kyle Fuller and the Fuller family, yeah. But look at the guy here who was the star in Baltimore.
Then after that year, I got a couple offers. I actually got Penn State the Sunday. I got the offer the weekend before signing day. That's when I got the Penn State offer. And then, I went and visited there. And
that's good strategy by Penn State. You know, knowing they can get a good player and then just kind of getting you and saying, hey, you ready to come?
Yeah.
Let's bring it.
All right. As we say goodbye here on Bears All Access, you know, you grew up in Baltimore, and lately Baltimore is similar to a lot of other big cities that are going through a lot of different racial tension. Your dad was a cop in Baltimore. What's the advice that you can give to people who, and you see the way the America is right now? What's your best advice in terms of people being able to get along?
Growing up, I've been all over. You know, in the inner city, playing basketball at Green Mountain Rec Center. Going to a bad middle school, then going to a top of the line high school, private school. So I've been around, all blacks. I've been around all whites. I've been diverse. My father was a police officer, so I know the police officer perspective. Mm-hmm. And then my cousins, my family, my friends, are black youth in Baltimore. So so I've seen all sides, and it's all about character. Everybody. If everybody. It's cliche to say love, but if you just live your life the right way, focus on yourself, focus on how you treating other people, and if you treating other people the way that you will want yourself treated or even your family member to be treated, then I think everybody will be right. Just like the bad police officers that's getting recognition for being bad police officers, there's good police officers also. So everybody not the same. Just like there are racist people, there are people that are not racist. That don't mean everybody's racist. You know what I'm saying? So, I feel like you should hold all that judgment, don't judge everybody, just by the way they look or their position, judging by, what they do. Well, not really judge them, but, go off of what their character is and, how they treat you.
Very well said. Adrian, good luck against the Panthers. Thank you for joining us. It's been a fun hour. For Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Sadman. This has been Bears All Access, brought to you by IGS Energy on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Thanks for listening to the Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access. Podcasts are available on ChicagoBears.com and on iTunes, or download the official Chicago Bears mobile app. Bears All Access has been brought to you by IGS Energy and sponsored by CDW, FanDuel, and PNC.